Planet Main Stage, Music Without Borders. My name is John Prentice. Thanks for tuning in. Well, hello, everyone. Today I'm happy to play my interview with Peter Yarrow from this year's Winnipeg Folk Festival. I shared the interview time with Sabrina Hornung, editor of the High Plains Reader in Fargo. We agreed to use each other's portions in our own stories. I posted the show last night on Facebook, and this is an example of comments already. For example, from Nancy, I kind of followed him around all weekend. No joke. People were literally weeping in the audience. He managed to touch something deep inside with his simple invitations to sing songs about peace and justice. The interview is sprinkled with short clips from my iPhone video and from the three workshops.
Well, I still got a hammer, and I still got a bell, and I've still got a song to sing all over this land. It's still the hammer of justice. It's still the bell of freedom. It's still the song about the love, the dream, the brothers and the sisters. All over this land.
Well, I quite often quote Wikipedia these days as a site concise and knowledgeable about a performer for Peter Yarrow. It says, albeit briefly, that he is Peter Yarrow, born May 31st, 1938, an American singer-songwriter who found fame with the trio Peter, Paul, and Mary. He co-wrote one of the group's greatest hits, Puff the Magic Dragon. He is also a political activist and has supported causes that range from opposition to the Vietnam War to the creation of Operation Respect, an organization that promotes tolerance and civility in schools. And he is attending the Winnipeg Folk Festival for the first time this year. I am so honored to talk to him now. How are you, Peter?
I am good. I have the performances to look back on that were thrilling. The people were wonderful, wonderful human beings, and they embraced me in ways that, as I said to them, you know, I have to rethink my U.S. citizenship now more than ever because of this embrace. I mean, or my, put it this, my domicile in the U.S., which is like living in a terrible gray cloud of fearful circumstance. So it was great to be up here and take a break from all that.
Can you just segue into the importance of group singing and harmonizing in our lives? And that's what we just experienced with you this week.
Well, yeah, to me, I never entered the folk music arena as a way of life because of my love of the music, although I do love the music, but because of the effect on me when I found out how by singing together people's hearts get linked and how that can lead to empowerment and activism and spiritual strength and transformation of individuals and society. And to me, that's what I'm responding to is the sense of intimacy and togetherness that's possible with music, that's the music shared when people sing it together, that's has unique dimensions and aspects that are so moving to me at this age of 79. It's just a remarkable thing.
Sabrina?
All right. How did you find your folk roots? I read that you were you were part of Greenwich Village. What was that experience like?
Long before that, as a very young person, I grew up with a mother who was steeped in progressive thinking, and she was a school teacher, and she taught English, speech, and drama in high school. And she brought me to see Josh White in concert, and I saw Josh White, and I was just overwhelmed. I mean, it was an amazing experience. It was at the YMHA on 92nd Street and Lexington Avenue. She also took me to hear Isaac Stern play the violin, and that's how I got to play the violin. But there we had only a few records at home. A couple were Russian folk music, because my mother was from Ukraine, Russia, at the time. And I remember those vividly, but I also remember Burl Ives singing the Foggy Foggy Dew and the Blue Tail Fly on what were called 78s, which were records made of acetate, not vinyl, that rotated at 78 RPM, revolutions per minute. And that was an introduction that was very powerful. And after I studied the violin for a while, when my teacher started making me cry, she brought home a guitar. And I said, oh, what's that? That's my guitar. She said, may I play it? No, she said, that's my guitar. So it took a lot of pleading, and then years later I realized that's why that guitar was so small. But she learned some chords on it, and I learned some chords on it, and then it became part of my life. When I went to high school, the High School of Music and Art, which was one of the famous schools upon which the film and the TV show were based, I was an art student. But all the art students were also familiar with, and some of them also gifted in one way or another in music. And so the music that everybody shared there, even if you weren't playing a classical musical instrument, was folk music. And we would all sing that, and it became a place of great wonderment for all of us who went there. And we went to Hootenannies, that's where I heard Pete Seeger and Brownie McGee and Sonny Terry. And then when I went to Cornell, I became president of the Folk Song Club. I started as a physics major, and then I graduated with a degree in psychology, experimental psychology. But in my senior year, I had an instructorship in a class called English 355-356, which was a class in folk music. And that's where I realized how folk music can affect people, how it can allow them to open their hearts to one another. And it became a passion of mine, and I realized, or I thought I realized, and it turned out I was right, that folk music would play a part in a changing of the world from a very unconscious place to a new kind of consciousness, which has now been in grave part reversed to a very, very mean-spirited point of view. But at the time, we were well on our way to a grander, more wonderful land, country, and future. And folk music was part of coalescing that effort at that time.
Is that what keeps you going now? Because you could, as a musician, I would think, with all those albums out there, probably retire. But
but as I said from the stage, you know, if I were selling insurance for all these years and somebody said, Peter, you ought to retire, and I would say, oh, I'd love to retire and become a folk singer, which has been my dream all my life. But if you're doing what your dream all your life has been, where are you going to retire to? Sell insurance? Not a good idea.
Sabrina?
So Greenwich Village was a hotbed of political awareness, and that was somewhat of a tumultuous time as well. Do you feel like history is repeating itself? I read, I think it was on biography.com and Wikipedia, that you and Mary and Paul participated in the March on Washington. Is that true?
There was a March on Washington for you of young years in 1963, at which there was a very famous person who gave a speech called I Have a Dream.
Martin Luther King.
Very good. and there were 250,000 people there, and that was a turning point for everybody who attended and for the country, because it was a time in which the country realized that if ordinary people stood together and locked their hearts and their arms and their souls and their voices, they could change the course of history. And Peter Paul and Mary's entire career was premised on the idea that what we were doing as singers was linked to our effort to articulate and achieve that vision of what those songs were all about.
Mind me asking now where you live now and how you spend your days when you're not touring?
I live in New York City. I tour probably about half the time, but most of my time for the past 20 years has been devoted to Operation Respect, which is an educational initiative that addresses bullying, but more importantly, it proactively creates an environment that's caring and peaceful and loving in classrooms all over the world, particularly in the United States. But I'm also engaged in many, many other efforts, and restorative justice and Native American sacred places and return of the Black Hills, anti-fracking, the climate movement, bringing America together now across the political divide because it's dangerously separated. My life is very happily, and it's a great privilege, filled with all of these efforts and many that I did not mention.
I'm the kid on every playground, I'm the one that's chosen last. A single teenage mother trying to overcome my past. You don't have to be my friend, but is it too much to ask? Don't laugh at me, don't call me names. Don't get your pleasure from my pain. In God's eyes, we're all the same. Someday we'll all have perfect wings. Don't laugh at me.
You've got new songs that are, you said, not on a record yet. One, we heard one in the last day or so, The Children Are Listening.
Yes.
That will be available to us?
Well, I have to go and I've recorded it, but I have to get, you know, 10 songs together. I've got it, but I have to find the time to go in the studio. And yeah, that one, it says, The Children Are Listening, The Children Are Listening. If we say something cruel and harsh, they will do the same. The children are listening. The children are listening. If they grow up to be bullies, we'll have ourselves to blame. It's time to come together across the dividing line for the children who are suffering with the pain in these our times. It's not just ridicule and taunts and bullying by their peers. Grown-ups' rage and hate-filled words are ringing in their ears.
And I also read that you were working on a project with your daughter Bethany and her boyfriend Rufus?
Rufus, yes. Well, they're not married, but they are a couple, and he's a virtuoso cellist. And we work on projects all the time. We were up in Standing Rock together. We're going to be performing next week in California. They're amazing. But we mainly are involved with political efforts. But one of the things we're going to do, I think, is make an album of songs of conscience and concern.
One of my favorite songs I was mentioning to you is the Great Mandela.
Yes.
From album 1700. It's not as well known, but it's beautiful in many ways. I especially like the phrasing in the song. It's just beautiful to sing. Where did it come from? What is it? What is that song about?
Well, it's a story. It's very clear what it's saying. It's saying it's a story about a man who refuses to go to jail. He says he will not kill anyone, and his father derides him for doing so. He says, you think you're better than your brother that died? And he goes to jail and he goes on a hunger strike. And he dies in jail. And in the end, the crowd outside screams at him, you know, we're not guilty. He was crazy. We can kill now. We can hate now. Now we can end the world. And then it cautions people to take their place on the Buddhist prayer wheel, the mandala, as it moves through their brief moment of time. Win or lose, they must choose. And if they lose, they're only losing their lives.
So I told him that he'd better shut his mouth and do his job like a man. And he answered, "Listen, Father, I will never kill another." He thinks he's better than his brother that died. What the hell does he think he's doing to his father who brought him up right? Take your place on the great Mandela. As it moves through your brief moment of time, win or lose now, you must choose now. And if you lose, you're only losing your life. The jailer not to bother with his meal of bread and water today. He is fasting till the killing's over. He's a martyr. He thinks he's a prophet, but he's a coward. He's just playing a game. He can't do it. He can't change it. It's been going on for 10,000 years. Take your place on the great Mandela. Still in his cell, death has gagged his accusations. We are free now, we can kill. Place on the great Mandela.
were out at Standing Rock. We're from North Dakota, and we've been doing exclusive, or we did some exclusive coverage on out there, and we were kind of covering the angle from the protesters' point of view.
Right.
And what did you think about the climate out there? What was your experience like?
Oh, it was heaven. I mean, if you go there, if you went there when I was there, it was the kind of empowerment and love and commitment that was, it was just like the civil rights movement. It was just like being a part of the anti-war movement. When it's like, similar to Occupy. We went right to the Lakota Sioux site. Bethany sang there. There's a video that uses her singing. She was singing Amanja, which is a sacred song from Brazil. And we sang together for a long time. There is nothing as ecstatic as being with people who have a lot on the line and have decided that they are taking a stand for something that they believe in for the better good. It's what everybody experienced when they went on this women's march. A third of them had never been on such a demonstration. Most of them quite probably would have said, well, I don't do that, that's a radical act. That's not the way it is, and that's not the way it worked. People don't realize that the great joys in the world come from various levels of togetherness and unanimity of spirit that can be created in this kind of a situation.
Was it Cesar Chavez or Rosa Parks that day? Some say Dr. King or Gandhi that set them on their way. No matter who your mentors are, it's pretty plain to see that if you've been to jail for justice, you're in good company. Have you been to jail for justice? I want to shake your hand, 'cause singing and lying down are ways to take a stand. Have you sung a song for freedom or marched that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Then you're a friend of mine.
Hey, you law-abiding citizens, come listen to this song. Laws are made by people, and people can be wrong. Once unions were against the law, but slavery was fine. Women were denied the vote while the children worked the mine, yeah.
The more you study history, the less you can deny it.
Say a rotten law stays on the books, still folks with guts defy it.
Have you been to jail for justice? I want to shake your hand, 'cause sitting in and lying down are ways to take a stand. Have you sung a song for freedom or marched that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Then you're a friend of mine.
Well, the law's supposed to serve us, and so are the police. But when the system fails, it's up to us to speak our peace.
We must be ever vigilant for justice to prevail.
So get courage from your convictions, let them haul you off to jail.
Have you been to jail for justice? Won't shake your hand, 'cause sitting in and lying down are ways to take a stand. Have you sung a song for freedom or marched that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Then you're a friend of mine. Have you been to jail for justice?
Have you been to jail for justice?
Have you been to jail for justice? Then you're a friend of mine.
In this last workshop you did, you asked the audience to give you some ideas of what they thought the sound of the United Voices was. Interesting responses until you finally got the one that, you know.
Well, they were all great. They all made sense.
Can you talk about that?
Oneness was mentioned. The first one was love. Mm-hmm. And what I spoke to them about is how I agreed with that premise, and then added my dimension, which was peace. And I spoke about the fact that when we sing together, which what we were talking about when we started to discuss things, was when we sing together that there is a taking off of the mask, the expression of vulnerability, that is extremely important, that really is a gift, because when you take off that mask and you live totally in the moment, and it can be love exchanged. And that happens when people sing together.
They've gone to flowers, everyone. Oh. When will they ever learn? Ever learn? Together, where have all the flowers gone? Where have all the flowers gone? Long time. Ago. Where have all the flowers gone? The young girls are affecting everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn?
Let's go out with the violins.
Finished, but
you know, I'm just about finished too. Is there anything else that you would like to add at all?
Yes, and what network are you working with?
The High Plains Reader.
Oh,
we're an independent weekly based out of Fargo.
Oh, so good for you.
Do a lot of art and entertainment and news and.
Good for you.
Definitely.
Wonderful. That's great.
We're the liberal voice in a red state.
Yes, you are in a red state. Good to meet you.
I told you I was in the ukulele club in Winnipeg.
Yes, you
and
did.
And we were singing Peter, Paul, and Mary's song, Puff the Magic Dragon, a few weeks ago in our strum.
Right.
And Keith announced that she had used, she used to use the song to calm her children at night. And she said, hi, John, I wrote these verses.
Hi, John. She said, Jackie kept on growing, found a friend so true, built a house and had a baby, called her Jackie too. Now this little Jackie comes to play with Puff and brings him string and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. So the song goes on and on from girl to little boy. Puff the magic dragon plays with them and shares their joy. When time comes for them to go, Puff tries to be brave. He tucks this song inside his heart and waits inside his cave. Oh, Puff the Magic. That's very good. Very, very good.
I'll give it to you.
There are hundreds of these that have been written, but this is one of my favorites of all time.
Thank you very much for doing this.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
A pleasure. I'll
give you a hug before I stand.
Thanks for doing it. You get a hug. There you go. Thank you, my brother.
Thank
Yay!
You.
Can I get
Thank
one of those,
you
too?
Bed, sir. Thank you.
Noble kings and princes would bow whene'er they came. Pirate ships would lower their flags when Puff roared out his name. Everybody sing Puff.
The magic dragon lived on the sea and frolic in the autumn mist.
Applause.
The dragon lived upon the seas and frolicked in the mist. The land.
Isaac. Can you show me with your fingers how old you are, Isaac? You're almost free? Free at last? Isaac, I wrote this song 58 years ago with my friend Lenny Lipton. How come you know the words? Isaac, do you know that makes me really happy?
Must a man look up before he can see the sky? How many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? How many deaths will it take till he knows that too many
You're listening to Planet Main Stage, and that was my interview along with Sabrina Horning from the High Plains Reader, taped at this year's Winnipeg Folk Festival 2017. And you can go to Peter Yarrow's website, peteryarrow.net, or the High Plains Reader site, actually, to see Sabrina's print article, hpr1.com. And, yeah, I think that was certainly one of the special all-time moments, having Peter Yarrow and all the music he did at the Folk Festival this year for all the 44 years of the Winnipeg Folk Festival, for sure. I think these songs, I don't think people realized how much they meant to them. And when they found themselves immersed in the middle of singing them, with the catalyst of the person who had written them or originally performed them, it was almost overwhelming. So thank you to Chris Freyer and the Winnipeg Folk Festival for bringing Peter Yarrow this year. And thanks to Kelly Romas for getting me a media pass. I don't usually do interviews at the Winnipeg Folk Festival because I'm involved with other volunteer activities, but she managed to get me a media pass. And it wasn't easy getting Peter at the end of his final performance, because as you can see, people like Sabrina and I wanted to give him a hug And that was happening at the workshop, too. It's just, it probably took about 10 or 15 minutes to clear the workshop stage, and there isn't that much time between workshops. And I think the next workshop was waiting to go on by the time we got in the golf cart and took off for backstage for doing that interview. You're listening to 101.5 UMFM. This is Planet Main Stage. And beyond that, just contact me at planetm@shaw.ca, and I'll respond to any of your comments or requests.